Good evening, anglers. Welcome to Hooked on Fly Fishing. I'm Colin Shepherd, and it's Friday, the 16th of February. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Tackle in Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear, and more importantly, they will show you how to use it. How good's that? Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, on tonight's show, we have some fly fishing news. Met Service has provided us with accurate weather forecasts. We check out some river levels and flows with Waikato Regional Council and Genesis Energy. Our freshwater reporters check in, and as always, we will finish with the fly fishing tip of the week. Some fishing news, the moon phases. The next new moon is on the 16th. Yes, that's right, it's today. Remember that a new moon occurs when the apparent longitudes of the moon and sun differ by 0 degrees. At this time, the moon does not appear to be illuminated. What does it mean? Well, a couple of days either side of the new moon today will offer the best fishing for freshwater anglers. You've got to get out there this weekend. If you're having trouble with that, just say, "The bloke on the radio said." Remember the saying, new moon, fisherman's favourite, full moon, fisherman's folly. Fly tying classes with Stephen Kerr have started again at Rod and Reel. We've spoken about this for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Now, these classes are initially aimed at the beginner fly tier and take place every second Thursday starting from last night. It costs us $30 for the full 2 hours. Now, all gear and fly tying materials are supplied. How good's that? If you're interested in attending, you need to contact Stephen. And Stephen Kerr's email address is steveok@extra.co.nz, or you ring Stephen on 027 294 1493. That's Stephen Kerr, fly tying, Rod and Reel, 027 294 1493. Okay, Threaded Didymo is always present. We talk about this every so often. Now, anglers in summertime traditionally move around a lot more. They go North Island, South Island, East, West, up and down, all over the show. You need to be reminded of the need to check, clean and dry all your fishing equipment. That's your boots, your waders, your rods, your reels, your lines, your flies. Even if you're taking boats and trailers, etc., between waterways. Check, clean and dry. If you have any news about upcoming fly fishing events, fishing reports, or any comment about fly fishing in general, you can contact the Hooked on Fly Fishing radio show by emailing me, Colin, on col.pam@xtra.co.nz. That is col.pam@xtra.co.nz. Okay, let's look at some weather with Met Service weather. Met Service Auckland Marine Forecast. If you're saltwater fly fishing, a situation. A weak ridge extends across the North Island from the east through to Sunday. On Monday, a frontal rain band associated with approaching Cyclone Jeta over the North Tasman Sea spreads across the North Island. The forecast from Manukau Harbour, Waitemata Harbour and the Hauraki Gulf. Saturday, northeast 10 knots, mainly fine, chance afternoon shower. Manukau, Waitemata and Hauraki Gulf for Sunday, northeast 10 knots, mostly cloudy, chance of a shower. In other words, go fishing Saturday, Sunday, Monday could start to turn. Waikato. If you're fishing in the Waikato region, the forecast for Saturday, cloudy periods and isolated showers until evening, light winds. Sunday in the Waikato region, mostly cloudy with the odd shower, light winds. Fishing in Rotorua, good evening anglers down there. The forecast for Saturday, cloudy periods and isolated showers, light winds. Sunday, Rotorua, mostly cloudy with the odd shower, light winds. Now, Taupo and Taumarunui, forecast for Saturday, cloudy periods and isolated showers, frequent in the afternoon, light winds. Sunday, Taupo, Taumarunui, mostly cloudy with the odd shower, light winds. Now, for our anglers in the South Island, in particular the Canterbury Plains, your forecast for Saturday: cloudy periods with scattered showers developing in the morning. Showers becoming isolated in the evening with increasing fine spells. Southerlies developing morning, turning northerly again in the evening. Sunday in the Canterbury Plains, fine with some high cloud, northwesterlies developing. Thanks to Met Services for those reports, we do appreciate that. Now, let's look at some river levels. The Puniu River is 23 kilometres south of Tawamutu, is currently at 10.9 metres. It's flowing at 38 cubics. That's up from 6 cubic metres per second last week, so a big increase in flow. The Mangatutu River, the next one over, is at 2 metres and holding. It's flowing at 9.5 cubics, well above last week's level. The Ohinemuri River, measured at Karangahake Gorge between Pairua and Waihi, is at 12.6 metres, starting to fall, but it's flowing at 26 cubic metres per second. That's up from 6 cubics last week. Tauranga Taupo River, at the southern end of Lake Taupo, is at 0.8 of a metre. That's double last week's flow. The Waipa River, measured at Odewa, is at 76.2 metres, starting to fall. It's flowing at 28 cubic metres per second, well up on last week, too fast to fish. The Whakapapa River over Taumanui Way is at 3.2 cubics, that's down on last week. And the Whanganui River, measured at Puriaka, is at 25.6 cubic metres per second, that's up on last week. And the Tongariro, measured at Turangi, 39.5 cubics, that's also up on last week. Now, all these rivers spiked early in the week after that rain, but they will start to drop now and clear. Beautiful weather throughout the country today. Enjoy the fishing. Be careful when wading. Now, thanks to Waikato Regional Council and Genesis Energy for that information. Excellent websites, real-time monitoring, updated online. Thank you. Right, let's have a very quick break and then the first of our fishing reports. listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. And as you can just heard from that break of silence there, the CD1 player in the studio, a Tascam CD 301 Mark II, is not performing properly, the old Mark II. Okay, that doesn't matter. We're live on air now, and we're going to talk to Stella Gordon. Stella is a long-time resident of the Taupo Turang area, and Stella is an expert on fishing the rivers and lakes of the Central Plateau. And Stella is live on air with us now. Good evening, Stella.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, thank you. You're well down there.
We're melting, but we're fine.
Melting. It has been, sometimes it's been lovely weather and sometimes it's been shocking.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's the most amazing, the last few days have been the most amazing days, but my goodness, today is just the complete, you know, it's just the humidity. It's just, it's only when you're busy, I think, you know, when you're physically active, you really, really do notice it, but we're not complaining.
No, it's better than having...
Not after the rain we had.
Yes, that's right. Now, yeah, just looking at your weather forecast today, fine, light winds, 27. Tomorrow, a bit cloudy, isolated showers, nothing to worry about, very light winds through to Sunday afternoon, 26 degrees.
I know, that is warm, isn't it? I think, you know, I mean, it is very settled weather we actually get. I think we've tended to get sort of rain showers in late evening when we've, you know, with that humidity's built up around the Kaimanawas. But we might be lucky enough to miss it. It's just hard to know, actually. I don't quite know. Do you know more about that cyclone that's supposedly bearing down on us?
Monday afternoon into Tuesday.
Is it? And is it going to be top of the island or is it going to be all of us?
No, it'll start at the bottom and work its way north, apparently.
Wonderful.
So, but, you know, these things, they can change and cool down
very
quickly.
So
you need to keep an eye. At the moment, Saturday, Sunday, get out there and go fishing.
Well, it's quite interesting, actually. This would be the first summer for many, many, many years that we have had Environmental Waikato bring us little schedules with, you know, sandbagging and, you know, putting sand piles out. And it's quite interesting. But then that's all relative to the fact that the lake is extremely high and we have had lots of these rain events which have been, you know, at times extreme. You know,
yes,
we've been really quite fortunate that we haven't really had too much in the way of flooding, but certainly, you know, look at places like Tokoroa, you know, it's bizarre where you have these incredible volumes of rain in very short periods of time. So at this stage, we're very lucky, but the problem is that we may not get the rain, but it all drains into the lake, doesn't it, lots of it? So that's the hardest thing, isn't it, trying to keep a happy medium.
And the lake level's been high for nigh on a year, hasn't it?
It's very, very high.
Yeah.
It is exceedingly high, and that is really why we've got the issues at the present point in time, and that is, you know, that if we do get another cyclone, our water table is extremely high. You know, I look at the Hanimaia, which is absolutely pumping at the moment, which means they're obviously spilling, and likewise, I presume, you know, I imagine they'll be doing the same thing on the Tongariro, so trying to get as much water out the other end and allowing for space should we be affected by this next storm. The problem is, too, is that, you know, you're talking 180 kilometres. It's a huge lake, 69 streams, so, you know, it does fall very quickly with rain over a very large area.
Yeah, and one outlet all going down the Hooker Falls.
That's right. It doesn't make it very easy.
Yeah,
you know, that's what I was saying to Environmental Waikato today, you know, really in reality, you know, we can prepare by actually, you know, allowing over a period of time. But the fact is we've now had 12, 14, 16 months of consistent rain, which is even more so than what we ever, you know, have had over that period of time normally, which means that, you know, you just, well, where does it go?
That's right. And the lakes downstream of you, they were pretty full as well.
Totally full, absolutely. And then we've had, you know, the strange phenomenon where we've had, you know, those king tides which are, you know, affected by these super moons and things like that, you know, and we know a little bit more about that now, and so therefore, you know, it's not something you can simply change, it's nature. And even though this lake is hydro-controlled, it is a concern at times. But, you know, I mean, you just have to be proactive and realistic. I mean, there's lots of us that have septic tanks and things like that would perhaps like to have them emptied at this time of the year. The problem being is that if you have it emptied, you've got to make sure you've got water going back into it. Otherwise, you know, you won't have a septic tank as it pops out. You know, there's all these sorts of things that are associated with, you know, areas. So it's, you know, it's not cut and dried, is it?
No, and we just got to be adaptable.
Very much so.
Okay, and a good point you made about the water table's been so high. When we do get rain, It doesn't soak in. It just runs straight off.
That's right.
And things rise really, really quickly.
That's the problem. Exactly. And if you think over the last 12 or 14 months, you know, we have... if there's no loose debris really to actually have any major effect on rivers, because in actual fact it's all washed off.
Mm.
But the problem now is with... You know, you've got different types of soil, and so you get subsidence, you get trees that now have been in, you know, the water table now for, you know, this last year that are, we've had wind and all those sorts of things. So therefore, you know, you have to be proactive, and I know that Environmental Waikato certainly are having removed quite a number of trees, and especially on the Tauranga Taupo, which could be an issue. I mean, this is the thing, it's not so much what you... see, it's what you don't see, and it's being, you know, being proactive and being prepared should something happen. So not that we actually want it to happen, but this is the, you know, this is the issue. If you think of the, you know, even these huge big copper trees that we have along the lake edge here, I noticed one today which looks to me to be a little bit of a concern, having died in the last 6 months, and that'll be once again that, you know, simply the water table, its feet are very, very wet. Yes. And it's got compromised because we've had, you know, not only have we had wind from the southwesterly, which of course it's naturally bulked for, but we've also had a tremendous amount of wind which has come from the north and also from the east, which is most unusual. And so therefore they become, you know, compromised. So you just have to be sensible about it.
That's right. Well, as you know, we talk to Bert Robinson, Rotorua, every week,
yes.
And they've got the same problem with their water table. It's just been so wet for a year that everything dirties up and floods quick as a flash.
That's right. And Rotorua is incredible. I mean, I always remember every time I had a baby in Rotorua, twice, but I could never, ever believe wherever we went, and whenever it was, one baby born in September and one born in March, and the rain. I mean, I didn't know that a place could have rain and rain so heavily. And yet you have a beautiful day the following day. But you can when you actually look at how lush the growth and the gardens and the roses and, you know, everything, the hydrangeas and the camellias and everything, you understand. Here we're completely different from the point of view that, thank goodness, we have pumice to some degree.
Yeah.
But even now, you know, like if you put your, you know, you're digging your spade in the garden, we have so many springs and things like that. Our water table is extremely high. And amazing things too, you know, if you think about, most of us are using bores, so as a result, it doesn't matter how shallow it is, but, you know, I noticed the other day with the fact that we've got China toilets, so therefore with the humidity and the fact that the water's so cold as it comes up out of the ground, it doesn't have time to warm, and so you get this moisture. So, you know, there's lots of things that people don't think about when we have humidity too. Mm. So there's all sorts of things. Just a little bit of change.
Okay, now a couple of questions about the other lakes. Lake O, Otamanakau has been fishing really well. I've been seeing on Facebook and stuff at the moment.
It's been amazing. Yeah. I mean, Otamanakau has obviously had a lot of rain as well, as you can well imagine, so it has been up and down. And, you know, the other thing too is when you've got great volume, it means that in actual fact you have a little bit more space often to fish to the fish, whereby, you know, if it is a stagnant period where you don't have a great deal of rain, the weed base that, you know, harbours that lake tends to grow very rapidly, and so therefore your space to actually fish to fish is compromised. So we are very lucky this year, and obviously naturally the canals as well have run at various times with extreme volume and cover, which has allowed people to fish. And honestly, there hasn't, I wouldn't say that there have been unbelievably large fish, but there's been a very consistent number of fish caught, and all in good and you know, relatively good size.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing and seeing, yes. And what about, I know some people fishing Rotoira this weekend. How's that been going?
Lake Rotoira is an interesting one. People either fish it or they don't. They're always people that have a fairly good knowledge. And it is, obviously, it stays fairly stable. It is fishing well, and it always fishes well. And because we've had so little wind this summer, it has allowed, you know, fishermen to fish quite comfortably with really good results. Beautiful fish.
Yeah.
It really has got amazing fish.
Okay, yeah, I'd like Rotoira myself.
It's a very nice, it's a very spiritual, special place. It's lovely. It really is. It's great.
I've been in some bitterly cold snow around the edges.
Absolutely.
And I was involved in rescuing a boat that actually blew over. It actually turned over. This
That's
is 10, 12 years ago.
Yes.
And we had to race down the bottom of the Potu end.
Yes.
And pull the guys out of the water, and it was a shambles.
Gosh, they're lucky that you were there.
Well, we got a phone call from someone, It all worked out, but by geez, it was bloody cold.
That's right. And you don't actually think about these things too, because when you look at it, it's actually quite a small lake in surface area. But in reality, it is exposed to so many different weather patterns, as you say, and not from snow to rain to sunshine, but it's wind.
That's right.
And it's such a cold lake too. You know, so you do. Yeah. You are exposed.
Okay, now you mentioned the Henny is up and honking and really
yes,
spilling water out of there. What about the other? I see your Tūrangi, the Tongariro, is up to 39 cubics or something last night.
You may have a recreational release, and that is why, and I think that's what everyone's doing at the present point in time, getting rid of water if they can, which is great for rafting, but not good for fishing. Well, it is to some degree. I mean, if you're a wet liner, absolutely fantastic. The little, byways and leeways and, there will definitely be fish. The other thing is too, naturally, it creates a little bit of turbulence, which then creates, it stirs up the river as such. Yeah. It's a little difficult if you are dry fly fishing. But, where we have a little bit of extra volume, we've learnt to actually fish it, and we know how to fish it. And so, therefore, it's just a matter of changing a technique or, style to fish for the conditions.
Okay.
And so, there certainly are good numbers of wet liners. And also just fishing the edge, nothing the edge or, just a dry... Look, it's just a matter of reading the water and fishing accordingly.
Okay, and as we said, the forecast is very good right through to Monday before the possible storm hits. So if you're going to do it, get out there and get amongst them now.
Very much so. In the last few days, we've had quite a bit of variety. Obviously, the rivers have all been up. There's been a tremendous amount of debris and volume that's gone out of the lake, so that lake has been quite dirty. It's well settled now, but you've got very wide rips and very, channelled. There certainly are still good numbers of fish out there, even those smaller stream now, the Waipahi, the little Waititoka stream, Waitaka, all those. There's just so much choice at the moment. This eastern lakeshore has fish fairly consistently. The western side of the lake has been a little bit slower, but then, there have been little sparkles as well, Waihura. It's interesting. It's just a matter of, as I always say, fish to conditions as they prevail on the day.
Yeah. And the TT, directly across the road from you?
TT has still got good volume, perfect colour, and fishing inside the river mouth, you'd have to be very careful if you're fishing the drop-offs. Not that you're going to reach the drop-offs, it's just the fact that you've got volume. There's been so much water that things change. So there's, movement on the bottom of the river. But certainly fishing inside the river mouth, especially in the evening, casting either an intermediate or a wet or even a floating line upstream and letting it just swing round, those fish come and hold inside in the mouth on the northerly end. And really well worth fishing. After dark, just a nymph, even just with a dry with a dropper. Really interesting this season. We've had very few cicadas and it's not been an easy dry season because we've had so many variants where we've had, cold water, we've had lots of water, we've had colour, we've had the rivers going up and down on a regular basis. It's one of those seasons where you just have to be selective.
That's right. As you say, you've got to be adaptable. That's right. All right. Thank you, Stella. That's excellent work. Well done. Now, your contact details, please.
07-38-68-953, and we're open 7 days, 7 to 7. More than happy to help.
Okay. That's Stella Gordon, 07-38-68-953. Give her a ring and talk fly fishing Te Apo Tūrangi. That's what she does. Stella, we do appreciate it. Thank you. Enjoy the weekend.
Have a great weekend. You too. Take care. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Stella Gordon. Appreciate that. Stella's number 07-38-68-953. She's at the store at Tūrangiita, right by the banks of the Tauranga Taupo River. They got gas, food, and there's a fly shop there as well. How good's that? Thanks, Stella. Okay, quick break, and then we'll try more fishing stuff.
Feeling mighty lonesome, haven't slept a wink. I walk the floor and watch the door, and in between I drink black coffee. a hand-me-down broom. I'll never know a Sunday in this weekday room. I'm talking to the shadows, 1 o'clock to four. And Lord, how slow the moans go when all I do is pour black coffee. Since the blues caught my eye, I'm hanging out on my Sunday dreams to try. Now a man is born to go a-loving. A woman's born to weep and fret, to stay home.
You're listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Bert Robinson, he's an interesting bloke. He's a long-time Rotorua resident and an even longer-time Rotorua angler. And that's exactly... well, we want to talk to him. As always, Bert is live on air with us now. Good evening, Bert.
How's it going?
I'm good. You well?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank I'm you. Glad it's Friday.
TGIF.
That's the one. Wednesday, Thursday and Friday were a bit tough because I actually went out fishing on Tuesday night. I wasn't going to go fishing. I was just going down for a look and collect a bit of information. But I went out to Hamarana and I sat there and people started coming out with fish. So I felt morally obliged to go out and see if I could get into a few myself, which I did. So it was quite good.
Okay. Well, okay. Hamarana, fish are starting to come in. What fly?
I was using a brown woolly bugger, which is a shop bought one. I shortened up the tail a bit, made it ragged rather than cut off. That was doing okay-ish. And then I went to a black doll fly in behind it, and boy, I started picking them up real quick after that. Very soft takes at times, but some of them were quite solid pulls.
Okay, yeah.
So that was quite interesting. I ended up taking three. I released one, and I had a bust off and three involuntary releases as well. So I got there just on dark, and I came out of the water about 20 to 11. So, and the fish had moved around quite a bit. The conditions were calm to a light ripple, which wasn't too bad. Even in the calm, you could pick them up. But the fish started going up to the left, right up to the left after dark, and so those towards the colder plume weren't doing so well. But then we'd had quite a bit of rain, and it wasn't a night that I thought that would be fishing all that well, but it did. And of course, we've had two full days now of very bright sunny days, so I imagine that the Hamarana and the Awaho and the others are now really starting to go off, and I was maybe slipping out later tonight just to have a look and see what's happening. But based on the information that I've managed to gather over the last few years, I would say that tonight, tomorrow and Sunday night are going to be pretty good, and then we're in for a bit of a change, possibly that cyclone coming through on Tuesday, either Monday, Tuesday or Wednesday, and then a southerly change after that. So it'll be getting towards the end of the summer fishing, really, unfortunately.
Okay, and you've got good, the temperature's 25 right through to Monday night, basically.
Yeah, well, we've had 20, 22, 23 during the day, even when it's been overcast.
Yeah.
And so the lake temperature has not dropped at all, and the lake is quite high. They're desperately trying to drop water as fast as they can. They've taken all the gates out the Ohau Channel, and they've got the gates wide open, which is causing some consternation amongst the other users of the Kaituna River. But the Lake Rotowiti, which is the one they base the levels on, it's under a high and low level one, and they can't go outside of either of it. So, it makes it a bit of a worry.
That's right. Now, we've just been talking to Stella Gordon down Turangi Way, and Lake Taupo has been high for about a year, and they just can't spill the water. They just can't get rid of it.
Yeah, that's the problem. And I think because they use Aratiatia as the sort of tourist attraction too, which kind of limits. I think they've got a limitation there because they only let water go at certain times and not running all the time, and that's obviously the bypass. They're still trying to generate power and they don't really want to waste water by dumping it, but at some stage they're certainly going to have to think about doing that on the Waikato River, I believe.
Yeah, well, everything, all the dams are high and, yeah, it's just all backed up, and of course we've got more coming.
Much more coming, yes, talking anything up to another 100 millimetres of rain. We had 200 millimetres of rain in the last week.
Goodness me.
We had 100 millimetres in 24 hours, which is an awful lot of water.
Yeah.
You know, and we've had 60s and 70s as well on either side of it. So, you know, everything, we dry out pretty quickly here, but all the streams are pretty much toast at the moment. I drove past Utahini yesterday and it was chocolate brown. It wasn't high, but it was really chocolate brown, and because we had all those big floods over the winter, so it doesn't take much rain to turn them to custard pretty quick. They can still be fishable, but you're down and cross in dead slow retrieves with lime-bodied grey ghosts and things like that. Something that'll stick out in the water, black flies in particular.
Okay.
Even at Craig's nighttime during the day can be quite spectacularly successful because although the fish can't see very far, the black makes them stand out. That's not sort of absorbed into the colour of the silt.
I understand, yeah. Because your water table, like Taupo, is so high that when you get rain, it just goes, runs straight off into the rivers, I suppose.
It does. You know, and prior to all this rain we had, we had an extended period of dry weather, which dried the land out. And of course, when we did get the rain, it was a huge amount. And then all of a sudden, we found that we had real problems with the water running off because the ground was too dry to absorb it. So, yeah, we're all caught between a rock and a hard place, and I don't think it makes a whole heap of difference where you are, really.
Okay. But the good news is, should be good Saturday, Sunday into Monday afternoon.
Yes.
So if you're going to go fishing, get out there and get amongst them now.
Yeah, well, unless we get a lot of lightning storms or something, which they have sort of suggested, we might get thunder and lightning. Even Monday, you know, the water temperature is still very, very high. The fish are still coming in. On a bright sunny day, more come in, but there's always some fish in at the moment simply because of the lake temperature. Now, you do have to hunt around for them. The guys that are spinning are doing really, really well. The black Zebra Turbo is really, really good, and that's the one that most people are using now, and some of them getting smashed as soon as it hits the water. And rivers like the Rangitaiki, they're still pretty murky as well, so it makes it a bit tough in places like Aniwhenua. But we've got other lake edges as well, even though it's hot, like Rerefakaitu is still producing good fish not far from the shore. Those are in float tubes fishing over the weed beds. There's dragonflies, there's caddises, they're still getting cicadas, and crickets are now starting to come out in force, and so that's another food source. I remember being at Hamarano at one time when it was like carpets of tiny wee baby, about 4 millimetre long crickets. And the trout were just chowing down on them, you know, and I didn't have a black fly in my box, small enough. And that's all I were feeding on. I found if you sank the fly, and it happened to me once on Kuratau Lake with green beetle, it was just fish rising about a metre apart on the lake, wouldn't take anything on the surface. The minute you sunk that fly and it was drifting down, man, they got nailed.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not all about following traditional lines. It's about thinking outside the square and, you know, like changing your retrieve. I cast out on Tuesday night. I tucked the rod under my arm. I rolled a cigarette and lit it. Put everything in my vest, in my pocket, and then gave the line two tweaks and I was on to a good fish. So, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
One of those things that you know, you can have, you've got to try everything, and what works is what you go with.
Okay, so mix it up until it works.
Absolutely.
You don't just stick with one of retrieve. Mix it up. As I always say, Bert, when I vary my retrieve, and then, you get a take, and then you land the fish or you release it, whatever. I can never remember, was I going fast, slow? Slow, fast, you know,
I make a point of doing that until I start hooking fish and then I stick with that particular one.
Yeah.
So if you're aware of what you're doing, I mean, it does become automatic after a while.
Yeah.
And the other thing too is that when you get a take, if it's a slow take, you just tighten up on the rod and then give it a flick sideways. You don't do the launch above your shoulder type thing, especially at night, because you know, if you move your rod tip from the water to above your head, you're talking 4 metres, probably. And so that fly has been ripped away from that fish 4 metres. There's no chance of it ever having a chance of seeing it again. So you're using your left hand and just giving the line a tweak from about 20 to 30 centimetres, and that's it.
Okay, yeah, I understand. Yeah, good stuff. I like fishing at night. It's all touch and... Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
it
is. And the only problem we've got down here at the moment is, boy, you turn that headlamp on and you are breathing caddis and all sorts of little beasties, and they drive you nuts. And there was two Australians, there was quite a number of people, but an Australian either side of me, and one flicked his light on, and within seconds he was spluttering, and he was just like, I don't like turning my light on. And, so that was quite interesting. The minute you turn your light on, you're just inundated. So caddis nets, which is not something we use in New Zealand, will be very helpful down there.
Okay, well, there's the tip, anglers. Yeah, don't let them put you off. Get out there and get amongst them.
Yeah, that's definitely. Right. There's plenty there to get.
Good on you. Thank you, Bert. I do appreciate that. Now, your contact details.
Yeah, I'm on 0272896079. Just give me a text or a call, and I'll update you on the conditions of wind, which is probably a little bit north at the moment. And it's blue sky with a bit of heavy cloud building, but that'll dissipate, and I'll let you know what's happening.
Well, there's the offer, anglers. Bert Robinson, Rotorua Fishing, 0272896079. Bert, we do appreciate it. Thank you. Enjoy the weekend.
I'll do that. I'll be out fishing, so I have to enjoy it, don't I?
Good week. Thank you, Bert.
Catch you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Mr. Bert Robinson, 0272896079. Thank you, Bert. Quick break, more fishing stuff. You're listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Okay, we've had more trouble with Tascam CD301, the Mark II version. We're going to abandon that and we'll get the techs in to have a look at that. That doesn't matter, because on the line we've got Martin Langlands. Martin Langlands is based in South Island, and Martin is a professional fly fisherman. He's a guide, that's right, he's been doing it for decades. And Martin is very experienced with casting, fishing, and he likes to be informative, innovative, friendly and professional when he's on the water. And that's exactly why we're going to talk to him now. Good evening, Martin.
Hello, how are you going, Colin?
Very good, thank you. We're having trouble in the studio here with Tascam CD301, the Mark II version, but we'll get rid of that.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, they're usually really good Tascam stuff. But anyway, life goes on, technicalities, eh?
That's the one. Now, being a fishing guide is more than just going fishing. By that I mean fly fishing near water It can be dangerous. What sort of safety stuff do you talk about?
Look, it's really interesting. Safety has become, it always has been really paramount to my industry.
Okay.
And, you know, the last few years, I'm a member of the New Zealand Professional Fishing Guides Association, and we have a really strong health and safety protocol and a strong health and safety plan that we instigate. So it's really good. And it's quite interesting. I don't think you need to be a guide to be interested in health and safety when you're on the river. Just the first thing I do is whenever I start a guide day, I always give people a brief. And what that entails is, and I think this is really pertinent for maybe some of your listeners, number one, I show them where my first aid kit is. I always have a really comprehensive one in the car, and then I carry a small one in my pack, so I think that's a really good idea. Number two, I carry a locator beacon, which is really essential for when you're going, you know, into the places where there's no cell phone reception. And then number three, I think it's really important, this one, is just showing, you know, the people I guide or the people you fish with where your spare keys are to your car so that if something goes wrong, you know, they can get to your car. And basically what a lot of it's about is making a plan when you start your day, just on the off chance something goes wrong, what are you going to do? And, you know, that's really quite various. I mean, I guided today and, you know, we had cell phone range and we were near lots of farms. So it's pretty obvious if something goes wrong today, it's easy. You can do a cell phone call to a 111 or my local Darfield police station or whatever, or get to the nearest farmhouse. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that gets a lot harder, Colin, when you're more remote. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this using a sat phone or an EPIRB. So, yeah, look, the health and safety side, a really good thing for people. I think it's important to tell your partner or whoever where you're going so that they know approximately where you are if something goes wrong. And to that point, if you haven't got a partner or whatever, leave a note in the car saying, hey, I'm here, bomb, I'm expecting to be back, just so people know where you are.
Yeah, good point. Thank you for that. Now, where did you fish today? And you've got 2 minutes to tell us what sort of flies you used and how you...
Look, I just fished out on a big freestone. I'd love to mention it, but I can't. So flies today. Look, what we encountered today, a beautiful mayfly hatch. One of the best mayfly hatches I've seen all season. That tends to happen from sort of March, April. Okay. It's a really good mate. You know, obviously this is a wee bit early. So we were using just Adams dry flies, small size 16 pheasant tails. A beautiful dry fly day today.
Excellent. And you got some fish.
And yeah, look, good fish. Yeah, look, Canterbury Plains, it's all in good shape. We had a hot day today. It hit about 30 degrees. All the rivers are pretty good. Hiranui's in great shape. That would probably be the best port of call for most people. The wonderful thing about the Hiranui, to speak quickly, it's really good from, say, the ocean upwards. The higher up you get, you know, generally the fewer the fish you get. There's a section called the North Branch of the Hiranui that comes out of Lake Taylor. Lake Sumner, which is a really stable section of river. That's really awesome for 2 to 4 pounders. So, you know, just check that the northwest wind's not there. So, you know, Hiranui is a really good option for trout.
Okay, well, there we go. Martin, we've got to wrap it up there. Sorry about that.
All good. No, look, wish I had more time to talk. There's a lot happening down here, but next week, eh?
We will talk to you next week. Now, your contact details, please.
Sure, Martin Langlands, Langlands. You can find me on Facebook. My website is www.troutlands.com.
Okay, have a look at troutlands.com and Martin Langlands on Facebook. He's got fly tying videos and photography, fishing. That's what he does.
Martin, thank you very much.
Thanks, Martin. Talk to you next week.
Talk more next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Right.
Mr. Martin Langlands, appreciate that. Thank you, Martin. Okay, we're just coming up towards the end of the show. We have time for the fly fishing tip of the week. When fly fishing, remember that the size of the fly is the most important factor. Always carry your favourite patterns in different hook sizes. There we go. Okay, Hooked on Fly Fish is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Hooked on Fly Fishing will be back on air next Friday at 6 p.m. Until then, good fishing and tight lines.